First, I take a bite.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session for the City Council meeting of February 18th, 2025. And our first item is a golf department update, and I'll turn it over to Ken first.
While Tyler makes his way to the microphone, I just wanted to say a word. First, we're trying to get some department reports in during the work sessions prior to the budget retreat. We did this last year. They won't be as budget intensive, but they'll be introductions and explanations as to where we are this year. This presentation will show you where we are in the golf enterprise fund. But these departments will also be making, highlighting their budget requests a little bit for you. And so, of course, we'll go over those in the budget retreat. But I just wanted to say that this is the purpose of these presentations that you'll see in the next couple of council meetings are to have the departments talk to you before that we have the budget retreat. So, and I'll just say one more thing while I have the microphone. I think hiring Tyler has been one of the best decisions the city ever made. So I know we hype up things sometimes, but this one is really a legit, I'll hype this because Tyler has done amazing things, and you'll see that today. So anyway, thanks, Tyler, for being patient with me.
Thanks, Ken. I owe you that $20. I'll get it to you later. Council Mayor, thanks for letting me join you this evening, give you a little update. Looks like I'm missing that first slide. I want to give you kind of a high-level, quick snapshot of the last fiscal year of the golf course. As we go through, please feel free to stop me and ask questions while you're on there, or we can answer them at the end as well. If you have any questions on as far as what we've done this fiscal year so far, I'm happy to answer some of those as well. But this will overall highlight last fiscal year, as well as, like Ken mentioned, some bigger picture budget request items for this upcoming one. This is a overview of the different operations and different what I would call businesses within the golf course. We are doing a lot. We have quite a few employees, anywhere from the pro shop to the turf, as we're adding the TrackMan range, gateway parks, simulators, event space, the grill, you name it, we're doing all of it. We have currently three full-time employees, and I'll show you a hierarchy chart if you remember this from last year. Three in the pro shop, really three and a half employees in the turf operations with the halftime mechanics from Public Works. And then we have two in the kitchen, and then all of our seasonal employees that kind of get us through the busy parts of the operation, which has traditionally, as a golf course, has been seasonal, which is really March through November. Whereas we've become really more of a 12-month operation, which has been an adjustment for all of us and a continued evaluation of where we're at with the Division of Golf. So it's kind of the separations of the different really divisions within the golf operation. I wanted to highlight our long-term employees with Weston, working really since the inception of the golf course. Brent, the head golf professional there with over 21 years, and then Nick, approaching 20 years as well. So we appreciate their efforts and their continued support. And I know that they appreciate your support throughout these years as well. What we do and what part of our vision of Eaglewood is, and I've mentioned this several times and probably every year, is to be the best public golf course in the state of Utah. We have some limitations, right? If any of you are familiar with some other, I call them popular golf courses in the state of Utah, they're public, like Black Desert, that's new. They held a PGA event. They spend more in a month than we probably do in the year. We have, again, different limitations, homes around the golf course, but we're in a beautiful setting. There's a lot of things that we can do to create a good feeling and a good benefit to golfers that come pay or event staff, or events that come to the event, tournaments that hold their corporate tournaments. There's a lot of things that go into being the best public golf course in the state other than just the golf course. So we try to create this country club type experience for people that come. And I won't go through those lists, but those are a lot of things we've implemented. A lot of them other public golf courses aren't doing. There's a cost to doing them, which is probably the biggest factor for most public golf courses not doing them. But we see it as an added value, and that will allow people to go walk away from Eaglewood thinking that was really cool and that was really neat. And hopefully they come back, which many do. This is our, and don't feel like you need to read through every line item here. This is a rounds by fiscal year. So from July through June of every year back to 2000. You can kind of see the ebb and flows of golf. You can see some weather-related events, especially if you're looking at the kind of slower seasons, November, March, even October and April, are a lot of weather-dependent. If we have nice spring, we have a lot of play. If we have a wet or even snowy spring, we often have slower play. But you can see the growth even in the last 4 or 5 years of play at Eaglewood. Popularity in golf is probably at an all-time high compared to even 2008 before the financial crisis in 2009. But we've seen some really incredible numbers as far as monthly play at Eaglewood, which has been really fun. This just gives you a kind of comparison of that with revenue. Our revenue is ultimately, especially on the golf side and the grill side, driven by people at the golf course. So people coming and playing, they spend money. The more we have, the more money we make. So it's kind of intuitive there on that. What I'd like to highlight is really the last 6 months of this fiscal year. We've continued that growth even into this fiscal year. So we've been just as busy in this new FY25 as we were, and if not more so. We've exceeded our numbers in July, August, September, and I believe even October this year compared to last year. So this is the kind of financial overview with our net loss or profit. You can see, and I tried and I couldn't figure out how to change the red to green and from the green to red, which will show you revenue expenses. So revenue is in red, expenses are in green, and then the purple is our net there, operating income on each fiscal year. So other than last year, if you remember, we had a lot of expenses getting the grill open, but we had a great fiscal year this last one as well. Update on the driving range. The structure is in place. We have a lot of the rough-in electrical finished. We're looking at a mid-April kind of kickoff date once TrackMan comes and installs the screens. The driving range will be open before then. We'll close for a week in April to allow them to install everything, and then we'll be kind of hitting the ground running there with their operations. And from what we hear and from what we're excited about is it will be a great added value to Eaglewood, and we'll be very busy on that end with the driving range. And I'm sorry I didn't get better interior pictures, but I'll get some maybe and share them with you all as well. This brings me to my first, I put in advertising because it has to deal with a little bit marketing, advertising, social media. This will be a initial request for the remaining of this fiscal year as well as next year. And I'll bring to you a next time we do a budget amendment request for a full-time social media marketing manager. As we've kind of grown in taking over the grill, event center, and even adding the simulators, adding the TrackMan operations, it's been difficult for me to focus some of my energy on some of the social media aspect. I brought this to the golf committee. I want to say, even not this last meeting, the meeting before, with some strong recommendations from there, that this position can not only pay for itself, but help Eaglewood grow and become even more of a staple in the Wasatch Front as far as golf courses. And I would like to note that this position would not just only focus on the golf course, but it would focus on all aspects of the operation, from the grill to the turf center to the event center. Really help us focus our energy there with those that are following us on social media. It's just an opportunity there. I think we can grow. What I'm probably looking for tonight on this is not an approval on on this position, obviously, because I'll come back to you with a budget amendment there. But I'd like to kind of get some feelers out there and post this job and see kind of what we get back as far as applicants. When talking with Ken the last couple of weeks is with the wage range that I have, I think we'll know where we're at, whether if I get two applicants or whether I get 20 applicants, kind of really getting a good idea of what this position will take and what, and I don't mean to waste people's time. I think as I come to you with the budget amendment and we find the right person, it would be a great opportunity for us to grow there. So any questions? Yes, Suzette.
I have a quick question on that. What do you feel like our room for growth is as far as how booked up are we in golf daily? I know that my family a lot of times has a hard time even getting a spot.
Yes.
Versus how booked up are we on our event center, weddings? Where do you see the growth that the social media will bring, and how much growth do we have the capacity for?
Yes. I can't remember which golf community member brought it to me as well, as how much busier can the golf course get? And honestly, it's not much busier than 80,000 nine-hole rounds. We were about maxed out. And that brings to the, you know, the next point of we have to find that price equilibrium of, okay, where do we want to be? Realistically, we need to increase our rates to bring down rounds. where I think this social media marketing person helps us more is growing those slower operations like the event center, like the grill, like the simulators, like the TrackMan. If you look at our social media page, it's the first couple years I was here, it was a lot more active than it's been the last 2 years. Really daily posting, growing our followers, growing those outside of the North Salt Lake area. I really want them to focus on finite things within the operation. So our pro shop, for example, when we get new items in, let's do a post on that and focus on what we've brought in, what we need to sell, discounts, giveaways, a lot of things that we're not doing now that we were doing, we're just not getting them out to everybody through that market. And then secondly, I think our ads and our marketing, I do a lot there with Google and Instagram, but I'm not on that every day looking at our click rate. I'm not looking at our website. Where are these people going? Where are they stopping? That's been a time issue for me on making sure that's a priority. So having someone that's knowledgeable and that would help as well. And then lastly, I'd probably say the videography and the picture taking just of the beautiful area that we have at Eaglewood is something we're missing as well. So having something knowledgeable that can edit those clips, edit those images to really highlight Eaglewood, I think is important.
And then one quick follow-up on that. I know, so my daughter is a whiz at social media. She's a hairdresser by occupation, but she has been hired by several different companies that she does all at the same time because she's just really good at it. And so I feel like social media now is not necessarily a full-time position. She'll market three different stores on her downtime in between a client every single day, and is raising the, you know, justifying her cost by, you know, bringing in feet in like 30 minutes in the day. So I'm just wondering, does it have to be a full-time position, or
so we've looked at a couple marketing companies, one that's doing another golf course right now that does a really good job. I think my need for having it a full-time position is really someone that's dedicated only to Eaglewood, that really, and I hate to be so optimistic, because I think it will take some training, but really just to blow up what we have and what I feel like we have a really good gem within Eaglewood. I know that there's Fiverr, there's online sites that can help us with a lot of these things, and I think there's value to having someone there that is invested in what we're doing, is part of the vision, that understands our goal, and not to say that those aren't valued somewhere else, but having someone really there that is with us day to day, that knows the operation, that can go out with Weston on the turf and take some right nice images and videos there, that it goes back to me having the time. If we were to go that route, which I'm open to all any and all suggestions, it would take time for my staff and myself to be able to get some of those images and those videos and then send them. I've seen it a little bit with Gateway Parks because they're doing that with one of the digital companies, and it's not as personable. I think there is a market for it, especially as costs rise. It's a lot cheaper to do it that way with a marketing company, but I think 100% having someone invested in your vision is what I'd be looking for.
I'd like to follow up on Suzette's comment. I think that's a good insight. I'm not certain that this would require a full-time job. And I'm not certain that going with a marketing company would be a better idea either, but maybe we just say this is a part-time job and you work 20 hours a week and you do all the same things and see if we get interest at that level.
Yeah.
Because I think that we probably will. Another idea is I'm not sure that the golf course, like we don't have a social media marketing manager just for the city. I know we have a public information officer that it falls under that umbrella, but maybe this is a full-time job that works for the city and does media marketing with the city and with the golf course and is part of the larger vision of the entire city. And that might be a full-time job rather than just targeted to the golf course.
Yeah.
Tyler, it's easy to track golf rounds and say, well, we're 80% or something, but the conference center, I don't have a feel at all for how we're doing there. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, I have it on there. I think that's the next slide. So we did 65 events, 33 of which were residents. So that's a growing number. If you remember last year, we were about 35% of residents booking the event center. We were about the same number last year, but our rental hours are up. So we moved, especially during our busy times in May through September, requiring people to book 12 hours for those days rather than someone just allowing them to book for 6 hours. So we increased our revenue a little bit. I think we had 69 or 70 events last year, but again, our hourly rentals were up and our revenue was up because we kind of forced people to book for the whole day. What we found over the last year and a half, 2 years that we've run the event center is we were booking those 6 hour events because we weren't sure that we'd get anything else. We were kind of taking that first, and that throughout the year we'd realize more and more people are calling for that date. So we'd book the May 14th wedding for 6 hours and we'd have 10 phone calls. Hey, is May 14th available? So we're kind of pushing a little bit for that. I would say the weekdays are slower. Our Monday through Thursday and really Sunday are non-existent for event center bookings. That's somewhere I think we're – obviously we have our golf tournaments during the season, but we're not filling up those times. So my one recommendation that we'll probably bring when we do fee changes is having a lower weekday rate. And for those evening rates to kind of entice people to book at Eaglewood. I think for $2,800 for a six-hour Tuesday wedding might be, although it's competitive with other event spaces, I think it may be too much for people when they're looking at, you know, the churches or, you know, other types of event center spaces. So I think it's something we need to improve on. Any other questions here? I like and Ken and I have talked about this, and I hate to be the one that bounces back and forth, but I think the part-time position is maybe somewhere, at the very least, I think we start with and see what applicants we get, and if there's someone really good that is within the 25-hour a week that is really good and focuses on that, that may have other opportunities, and I'll reach out to this other company, get some pricing, and maybe I'll come back to the council during that budget request and kind of give you those options that maybe we can move forward with. Obviously, the part-time wages would be just an increase in our temporary time, but I'll come back with some options there for you.
Can I make a comment? We had at my job, we looked for a marketing person, and all the applicants that we had that applied were part-time. They looked for part-time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was hard to find somebody. We weren't looking for a full-time. We were looking, and it was a lot of moms that work that wanted 20 hours. So I think, honestly, the market might be better. You might find more applicants in a part-time position.
Okay. That's great.
I agree. And I, again, back to what you had said, I don't think going through a marketing company and having them be a contract employee, subcontracting that way is the way to go. I like the idea of having someone that, like, this is their job. I'm contracted for Eaglewood or for the city, instead of I'm contracted with this company and then this is my assignment. And then I wanted to make another comment about the events. One thing I would love to see more of at the golf course is chances for people that volunteer with the city to use the golf course. I really like with the driving range, I think that this makes it maybe more accessible for people who don't golf. I'm thinking specifically like the youth city council, that maybe we pick a day during the year where they all get to go up for 2 hours and just do the driving range. Or all the volunteers on all of our committees, we have one night a year where they all go do the driving range with their kids. Yeah. And I think that would be a great way to kind of, I would like to see us do a volunteer appreciation event in the city anyway, but this might be a great way to do that. I'm really excited about the driving range.
Yeah, and me too, because it's really, to me, it's another whole nother golf course, which it seems silly, but it's a driving range that you can play golf on. You know, it's different than just hitting golf balls in the driving range. So for me, I've always struggled with giving away golf on the golf course because there's a market there that would take times, whereas this is a lower cost entry point for us to give up, in a sense, for groups just like that. We want to do everything and anything on the driving range because ultimately it brings people to Eaglewood and just like everything else we're doing. So.
And then just for the rest of the council, this is something that we had talked about before. When we do the field trips with the elementary schools, the fifth graders get a card where they could previously have done about 6 holes or 9 holes of golf, but now I think it's for the driving range. It will probably be moving forward. And very few of those are redeemed. And I don't know if golf is that accessible for 11-year-olds, but I think the driving range really is. And something else that you and I had talked about is maybe doing a teacher appreciation gift for teachers that are in the city, and they all get a card once a year that says, hey, come spend 30 minutes at the driving range, and we're glad that you teach in our city.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to focus on, I'll call them giveaways, but to get, and not to say I want to give away golf to everyone, but to broaden those that are not familiar with Eaglewood to be familiar with Eaglewood. We have a lot going on, and they should be, especially if people live in the city, they should be proud of what we have and what we're doing at Eaglewood. So.
I have one last thought. Sorry, it came to me. But just so I can barely get myself to go onto Facebook and Instagram on a regular basis. I am not a social media person, but in my family, actually, there are some that, you know, get a million views in a month on any given post, and like literally a million. It's insane. So I was thinking, this influencing world is so different than our traditional working world. And so I would wonder whether maybe we don't limit ourselves when putting out that job opportunity to the box of benefits or even part-time, full-time, but we would like a marketing influencer for Eagle. And then see what we get. Another child made the comment that for different products, they would give a price on what they would market the product for. And then one time they said, what is your budget? And the price that they were given was like 5 times what they were going to ask. And, and from then on, they just said, what is your budget? And went from there. So that came to me. I think the world's changing a little in that realm. So
yeah, we tried to, and we were somewhat successful. Alan is assistant golf pro. He's in the back. We tried to get some free influencers the last year and a half or so, and we got a couple people out there to come up and play golf and post, and we have some that do it for free without any without any contact there. But yeah, that's one of our goals, is to have this part-time social media, is to outreach to some of these influencers and get them, hey, would you like to come play Eaglewood? Those types of things, I think, will help us grow.
World,
it is
right?
Very different. Yeah.
It is just a different type of paid media, though. So like for a marketing specialist, they maybe used to pay for commercials or pay for print ads, and now they're just paying for digital influencer spots. So like the marketing person should be able to negotiate those contracts. That would be part of their expertise, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it would be fun to see that. Especially someone that has some golf influence or really anything that's, you know, wedding oriented or anything like that, that we can have them focus on. So our golf tournaments, and I'll kind of get through the rest of the things so we can get to the next item. But we had 72 golf tournaments at Eaglewood last year, which was up from 70 the previous year. We have 63 scheduled so far, which is a very high number for us already going forward. We've moved to blocking Mondays and Wednesdays, so it's an even tighter window for people to book. We've blocked Mondays and Wednesdays because those are our association days. And what we felt like, and what we've, a lot of feedback we got from customers, is we had too many golf tournaments. Not enough time for public play, not enough time for the association. So we're kind of squeezing those, again, kind of goes back to the events. We're taking the first opportunity rather than kind of forcing those that want a corporate tournament at Eaglewood into the days that we want and we need. So it's been pretty successful. We still have kind of our long-term standing tournaments that are on Wednesdays, and we have, I think, one or two on Mondays, but it's worked out well for us to kind of push those days. So the full operational, I would call it the first real full year we had for the grill, was successful for us in that we made a little bit of money off of our revenue. So you can see our catering revenue, which would be more for tournaments and events, and then our concessions revenue, which would have been the kind of main operation for golf, and then our expenses there along with our net revenue. We've adjusted our menu several times and continue to adjust, and we, even this year, we will make arrangements for those items that sell well and we have a high margin on, and removing those that are low sell items that are high cost for us. So we're continuing to adjust and making some preparations to make even more our net revenue off the grill operations.
I get a little feedback from the neighborhood that sometimes they go up and it's not open, or is there a consistency that we can...
Yeah, right now we're open when Gateway Parks is open. And then during the season, it's generally an hour after tee times, and an hour or right when the tee times end is generally our operating times. I'm not sure if we're updating that regularly on Google, and that's probably part of the confusion for them to not know when the grill operation...
But you're open 7 days a week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion for the grill that I think could be very cool, but it also might conflict with events. I have a newly 16-year-old daughter who now is going to high school dances, and there are very, very few restaurants that feel like a good option for a high school dance. On nights of the local high school dances, the grill could do like a prefixed menu where people could come. They could just have it laid out. You like come through just like you're running a restaurant for a night, but it's a prefixed menu. Like it's, you know, $40 a couple or something, and this is just what you get. And then we bring in all those kids from the city that get to see the golf course as well. I think that could be cool. But if there are events that night, because they're usually weekends, so it might not be a good fit.
Yeah, I'm happy to look at the school's dance schedule and get with Justin on maybe getting some information out to those that are in charge of those. That's a good idea. These are highlighting just some of the events that we've done or would like to do. The only one that we haven't done that I'd like to is the movies on the driving range. Now that we have the structure out there, we have the power to that building, it allows us to kind of orient that a little bit better. So I think that's something we'll try to do in the future during some of these summer nights. But we're doing some community events, and we'll continue to evolve those and grow those. So Breakfast with Santa has been really fun and great. Oktoberfest we did this last year was really fun too. We had a lot of German food and golfers, and that was a lot of fun. So Gateway Parks, I know several of you asked me kind of how they've done. This is their last week of operation. Typically it's around the President's Day weekend is they're kind of starting to slow down. They'll start to pick up. So Sunday, they'll start to move some of their snow out. They'll take down their equipment. They've had almost 5,000 visitors and $150,000 in revenue. That's well below their projections and what they wanted, where they needed. They're down 46% in all of their parks. I think mainly they're telling me because of weather-related, not being able to make snow and not having snow that first month, really. Their first day they were open was December 13th this year, which is typically well behind where they'd like to be. They were slated to start open November 15th, if you remember, this year. So it was almost an entire month behind when they were getting open. They did a slow marketing rollout. I would say they really didn't get going with any of their marketing materials until after the start of the new year. They started to pick that up, and again, that goes back to their marketing company that they'd hired that I felt like wasn't doing a lot for them. We were reposting a lot of what they were posting, but it's been a slow growth for them. They're optimistic for next year, and I am as well, that now the word is kind of starting to get out. Those that came this year will hopefully bring others next year. But they had a really great year as far as satisfaction of the people that did come. So people that came had a lot of fun. I went quite a bit. My daughter always wanted to go. But it was a fun experience for people. And I posted a couple of their Google reviews that they had online there from people. Ultimately, for us on the golf side, and what the city is concerned with is how does their operation bolster what we have at the Grill, and how does it bring people to Eaglewood that wouldn't necessarily come otherwise? I think it's been a different demographic that would not have normally come. Even though we have the free sledding hill, I think having a paid operation even brought a different set of people that weren't familiar with Eaglewood. So I think there's room for growth, and certainly they would like to see that growth as well.
So they're committed to coming back?
Yeah, and I think with what they are spending to kind of get this operation rolling, they want a longer term lease. And I mentioned to their operator today that maybe end of March or April, I'll bring to you their 5-year lease agreement for us to review and look over for next year. If you remember, we signed, the original agreement was just for this first year, and then we had the option for a 5-year renewal, and then after that 5-year, another 5-year renewal. So I'll bring that to you, and I'll have some more information from them as soon as their season ends. I'll get their final numbers and their financials. I'll get over to you as well. So,
and quick question: I know that I got a lot of trepidation from neighbors at the beginning, kind of before lights flipped on, but I didn't hear much afterwards. So I'm wondering: did you get a lot of complaints afterwards? Noise, traffic, lights, those were the
I only
words.
Had one complaint that was valid, and really one complaint at all. It was the lights shining from their operation into their house rather than down on the tubing run, which they corrected over a while. I didn't hear any noise complaints. I didn't hear any light pollution other than that one instance from anybody. And generally, I will get voicemails of complaints that are going on. So
good. Good.
And hopefully you guys haven't either. If you have, please.
I had the same experience. It was before it opened. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to live next to an amusement park kind of thing. And traffic. And I thought, there's going to be a lot less people than a golf tournament. But, it didn't seem to be much of an issue after. But one of the most vocal people was a former member of the golf committee. And he goes, I didn't know anything about it. And so Linda got him the minutes, and he didn't show up that time, the couple of times it was discussed. And so he had to be quiet after that.
Yeah, and hopefully they're one of those that can be a champion for it now, too. I know they live across the road from the golf course, but I think it's been a good benefit for us, even though our revenue has been minimal. I could see us growing. I mean, their growth numbers have been weekly. I mean, 658 guests just this past weekend compared to the 5,000 they've had all season. They've seen incremental growth, which is optimistic for us and for them that will continue.
And you said they were down at their other parks as well.
Yeah, every park was down.
It was a tough winter.
Yeah.
It was.
And even what I would always ask them, well, how's your Spanish Fork operation going? Because I was worried that we were, somehow harming them by having them at Eaglewood. But their Spanish Fork was in the same situation that we were. So.
And when did you say they were closing? their season?
This weekend. So Sunday is their last.
We're just starting.
I know.
We just barely got snow, I don't think it's stopping anytime soon.
It really is going to depend on how much snow we get Thursday. If we get a considerable amount of snow, they'll probably extend their operations. We're looking at kind of, I would say, worst/best case scenario for the golf. If we get warm temperatures with snow, no snow on Thursday, we'll likely be open for golf on Sunday. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it really, then we'll give them a week to clear off their snow, and then all 18 will be open for us. So we're kind of managing it that way. In the agreement we have, President's Day weekend is their last operating weekend. We kind of based that off of what Spanish Fork City was doing as well down there. But it will take us probably a week to melt off what snow they've made. So I won't go through the next 2 years, but when we bring to you the budget request items, I want to highlight equipment for this next year that we're looking at. We call it a sidewind mower. It's really a trim mower, as well as a couple new beverage carts, and then a backhoe, a John Deere backhoe. We're looking at some used options right now that can hopefully lower that cost. We had a little bit of a sticker shock when we got the first bid back for a new one. So we're looking at other options for gently used, lease returned equipment on the John Deere. But I wanted to present you with the highest number, and then I'd rather come to you with, hey, we saved $75,000 by finding something else. So it's a lower item than the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. And then you kind of see it creep up a little bit more in 27 and 28. And then I want to just make sure, as you're looking at it, the biggest item on there is going to be golf carts. We do a 5-year kind of rotation on our golf carts, so that would be the next rotation of those. We do get trade-in value for what we have, but that will be our next biggest expense for equipment. And really, we're getting 5.5 years. What we're looking at is 5.5 years out of our current carts. And then we'll see what's available. We'll go out to bid for each of the 3, maybe even 4 by then, big golf cart companies, and we'll get some pricing, and I'll bring that to you then. But I just want to make you aware of that's coming, and will continue to come every 5 years as we rotate these golf carts in and out.
I have a question about that, Tyler, before you go on. Some of the large equipment that isn't used daily, like a backhoe or a dump truck, what's the collaboration between like city fleet and what's used at the golf course? Are they kept entirely separate, or do you sometimes use vehicles from the city fleet?
John and Public Works and Dave and everyone down there, they're great at letting us borrow equipment that we need. So even for our TrackMan range project, we borrowed a skid steer and mini excavator for almost 2 weeks. I think we had it up there. So it's great in that way. It's the backhoe is a little bit harder because And John can speak. That's a little bit more. If we need it for a week project, it's hard for us to borrow that because it's either with the water department and, you know, let's say we have a water line break. Well, there goes our backhoe that we were going to use for the operation that we're doing that week. So there's a little bit of cross when it's available is great. It becomes a little bit cumbersome for us when we need something that's not available to us. Or the backhoe is a nice piece of equipment for the turf, not to have to hand dig 6 feet down to get to a valve box, for example, which we've had to do. We just don't have the pieces of equipment to do those types of things. But it's not a need. We've never had one, but it would certainly be a nice amenity for the turf operation to be able to quickly access things or get things done with that.
Doesn't the state contract have a lease on equipment that's also a way to go rather than buying?
Yeah, there are options. We can essentially lease or rent. There's weekly, there's monthly. There's a lot of options that we can go that route to. It really is going to come down to what's our useful life on a used piece of equipment, what's our useful life on a new one, and then do some cost comparisons on whether that works within a lease or us even, hey, if we have a project going down and renting it, those types of things we can look at. So I won't go through all these as well. The red with the check marks, if you remember last year, these are some of the goals I brought to you that we had The red ones we accomplished, and then the ones in the black we're still working on. I put some of the highlighted numbers there with growth. Ones we're still struggling with, and I say struggling, it's still been a benefit to us, is the golf simulator, and then our sponsorship and ad revenue. Those are our two biggest items we're still working on. We're about $36,000 in golf simulator revenue, which now we've taken that whole downstairs of the event center. If you remember, we had two offices vacant for quite some time, and then we had the one office they were paying $650 a month. So the return on the space as far as dollar amounts has still been considerable for us, but it's still a lower number than I would like to have. We need to do a better job with our off-season tournaments, our daily golf simulator rentals, and that's something that we'll continue to work on. So, and then these are some adjusted goals for this year. So this is what we have been working on and will continue to work on for the rest of the fiscal year. Some adjustments, that some goals that were probably a little too lofty, and some that were increasing because we exceeded them considerably last year. So I'll leave that up there if there are any other questions. My next one is fairly boring. It's just future projects, but I'll take some questions and hopefully give some time.
Not a question, but a suggestion. It'd be great to see trends over time, graphs that show us, you know, what's been happening over time. Thank you.
Okay. I just got today that the Best of Salt Lake City, they do theirs at the start of the year. So we'll be on, we haven't won anything yet, but we're nominated on there as well, which I think is funny. So I love winning the Best of Salt Lake City awards. And then here's some long-term projects, and then the next page is just questions. So some of these we completed there in the last year and a half. I know that they're long-term projects. Some of these we were able to accomplish a little earlier than we wanted to. Some of these are on a 1 to 2 year plan. Some of them are 4 to 5. Some of them are 10 to 30, like our cottonwood tree replacement. So there's a lot more. I just put our top 15 on here. We have a list of about 150-170 projects, so it's a lengthy list that I will probably never see the completion of, but it's something that we can pass down to the next person that runs the golf course. So anyways,
how is the junior club? I noticed you decreased the men's and women's by a little bit, but I didn't see the current juniors versus.
Yeah, juniors, we were about 70 ish.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in there. What we did the last couple years is allowed them to play golf and hit range balls as part of their membership. They paid a fee, we gave them a punch card at a discounted rate. Mm-hmm. With the TrackMan range, we're going to completely change that from being on course participation to a lower entry cost, and then help them utilize the driving range and the TrackMan range more. So they'll still be able to play golf courses, but having it at a lower cost, we'd love to see 200, 300 members, rather than us limiting that participation because we didn't want to have that impact regular golf. Mm-hmm. So really it wasn't we didn't want to exceed that number. We capped it because we were having, I hate to say it, too many juniors, but those juniors were taking up daily times that we're filling up otherwise. So the TrackMan range totally changes that for us, and I think we're going to make some good changes to allow more and more and more juniors to come, and hopefully we get double that. So
can the junior members do the golf simulator as well?
Not the inside one, but the TrackMan range, yes, absolutely. Yeah, this, and there's games and things on there that I think they'll love.
And then we've talked about this before, and I've gotten answers, but I don't remember, so I'm just going to ask again. When we consider golf balls that are leaving the course and going into private property, there are many ways that has been addressed. And one that we've talked about a few times is planting bigger trees that could stop those. Is that part at all of your future projects? And if it's not, can you explain to me, because I don't remember the conversation that I know we've had before.
Yeah, it's really going to be part of this cottonwood tree replacement. Our aging trees on the golf course, and we've already seen several of the older cottonwood trees start to die, and part of them are diseased, and They're just not a longevity type tree, but we need to think about replacing those in key strategic areas. So when those do need to be cut down, we already have something that's growth and tall. And we do struggle a little bit with tree growth up there. There's certain types of trees, and Weston and Nick know more about it than I do. They're certified arborists. But we struggle on the ground, especially up on the old gravel pit area on next to the clubhouse, with growing different types of trees. For whatever reason, the soil type, we've had issues. Some of the pinyon pines do really well, but those are not big growth types trees. Those are smaller pinyon, smaller pine trees. So it's going to take us some investigating and some trial and error on what grows well, what will. Concerning homes, that's such a tough answer. I get them all the time from neighbors all over the golf course. We have golf balls coming to our yard. Can we plant trees? And it's almost on a case by case, hole by hole, location by location, where the trees can be impactful, where they can stop golf balls. But we're not opposed to helping any of the neighbors if it's feasible.
So. Do you mean helping them plant trees on their own property?
I would love for them to do that. That would be my suggestion.
I think that actually is a fantastic goal, and I would love for you to come back to the city council and say, hey, we have gone hole by hole across the entire golf course and identified where we're having problems with golf balls leaving the golf course. We want to plant trees here, and we want to invite the homeowners to plant trees here. And yeah, maybe in conjunction with our Arbor Day, if we're offering resources to residents to plant trees, that might be part of one of the years we do it around the golf course, where anybody around the golf course who wants a tree, the city will help.
Yeah, and I think most people that live on the golf course have been there for some time, either have some sort of netting or do have trees. I think it's more or less some of the newer property owners or those that can't afford netting that are looking for help. So I think that's a good idea.
And if we did it as part of Arbor Day, we're not assuming liability. We're just giving it to all of the residents.
Yeah. And that's part of it too, is when we talked about this several months ago, if we do one thing for one person, everyone else feels like we need to do the same for them. So it's hard to segment that of, we'll plant trees here, but we're not going to do it there. So it's going to take some careful consideration on what we're doing. And that is partly why we haven't, is I don't want to help one neighbor and then not help another. And that causes some contention and some ill will with neighbors on the golf course. So
we do have a budget item every year, though, for trees in the city. And maybe every year we can say to the people that are asking, come back again next Arbor Day, and we've got a budget, but you'll have to wait till next year, and then it can be part of that.
And we have a budget item on ours. Ours, unfortunately, goes towards cutting trees down, because we have some, especially the last few years, of removal of trees rather than planting. But that can be a budget item I can increase and we can look at as we're going through the budget process.
Tyler, I thought of one other thing I meant to ask you. Can you help me understand the water consumption that this winter snow production has taken? What kind of toll on the overall city water?
Yeah, they were using, what we had to end up doing this year was tap into the hydrant that's on the corner of the four-way stop, which is culinary water that they were filling into the lake. I don't have the meter readings from that yet. I don't think it was as, obviously they didn't make as much snow as they would have had they been open earlier, so I don't think it's even close to the realm that they were supposed to or had planned on using. Mm-hmm. Future-wise, we're looking at using the reservoir on the southern pond to slowly fill in the northern pond for them to use a lot of storm drain water, a lot of runoff, a lot of water that we had at the end of the season. So there's a lower cost and a lower usage of culinary water throughout their winter operations. But
and did, was I, that I can part get those of the numbers. Business program that they paid
yes.
per the metered it, water?
Yes, absolutely. They're paying electrical and water for their usage. So.
Okay.
How is that pond coming? I haven't noticed.
We have a few things that they're fixing. Karen's smiling at me, but they're not done yet, but they hopefully will be here before we really get going in the season. So they've got the liner in. We've had a few issues with that. They've hopefully fixed the issues we have. And when we get water to fill the pond back in, when the water's turned on, we'll kind of test that again and see where we're at. And then we'll have, on the golf course side, we'll have some remediation for kind of filling in some of that grass. We're planning on doing hydro seed just to get that growth in sooner and faster rather than doing sod or seed. So sod being costly and seed taking longer.
I was wondering if maybe at the end of the season, when everything's finished and finalized, if we could maybe put something in like the newsletter that explains to some of the residents. I did have somebody ask about the water, about where the water came from or what the expense was and if the city residents were paying for that water. And maybe if it was explained a little bit better, maybe that would ease their feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, I can send that information over to Linda. That's a great idea. I'll make a note of that.
Anything else?
So, does the council know the answer to that, though? That the residents don't pay for the water, the golf course users pay? Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Tyler.
Okay.
Exciting things happening there. Ken, are we okay bumping Craig down? And
yeah, he's not going anywhere. No, we're okay.
Okay, let's take a quick break and reconvene in 5-6 minutes. Thanks.